Hey. Come on. What's up, Rock family? My name is Hayden. I'm the youth and young adults pastor. My student section's going nuts. We love that. Hey, shout out to our youth over here. Can we make some noise for them? Yeah, we love that. Awesome. Are we excited to be at church today? I'm excited to be here. Hey, I believe God is going to speak powerfully today, but before, I just want to make sure we acknowledge our online community. Wherever you're watching from, if you're at your house or your apartment, maybe you're at your desk or your coffee table, we are just so excited that you are watching with us, and I just believe that the same Holy Spirit that is moving here can meet you exactly where you're at in your living room. So can we just make some noise for everybody who's watching from the online community today? Amen, amen. Also, I just want to do something. Pastor Darren shouted out our first-time guest. I want to do something a little different. Can we shout out our second-time guest today, maybe our third-time guest, maybe our fourth-time guest for the people who have been coming to church for the whole month? Come on, somebody. That's what I'm trying to celebrate. If you are here, maybe you're here for the second or third or fourth time or maybe the first time. Our heart is that we get you plugged in. And that you have an encounter with Jesus today and that you get plugged into community. And we're just believing that God is doing something special at this church. Today, we're on kind of a one-off series. There's not an official series that we're in, but next week, we'll be starting our series titled Heart for Your House. And really what this series is it's a series based around generosity and expectation. That we are believing that God is gonna do something amazing in this church through generosity, and that miracles happen when we are generous people, amen, and that there will be breakthrough in your house when we are generous people, amen. Come on. Pastor Miles will be back, and it's gonna be a powerful series, so make sure to come next week and see what God is doing. Today, we're gonna be continuing off on the topic of faith. Pastor Travis preached an incredible message last Sunday. First off, can we just make some noise for how incredible of a communicator Pastor Travis is in this house? Yeah. He brought a great word last week on how do we live a quiet life with a loud faith. Today, we're going to be continuing the topic of faith, but specifically around the topic of how do we have a faith that endures? How do we have a faith that endures? I'm a Carolina Panthers fan, so I feel like I can talk on this topic very well. I've had a faith that has endured for the last 10 years, amen? My Raiders fans know what I'm talking about. We're 4-3 today, we're expecting a win. Faith that endures. Our heart, really, I think if we're being honest, as a team and as a staff and just a whole church, what we want for anyone who comes through the doors here is that you have an encounter with Jesus that changes your life forever, that you get plugged into community, that you get in a group, that you're serving, and that God is doing amazing, miraculous things in your life, and you're feeling his favor. But oftentimes what happens, and what I've noticed, is people get saved in first 6 months, a year, are just incredible, and you just feel like you are on fire, nothing can touch you, life is good, I'm in community, I'm praying with my people. And then we realize pretty quick that life is still lifing. Life can still hit us. We can still grieve at unexpected times. We can still get a diagnosis that we didn't expect. We can still lose our job in any moment. We can still come in and have moments that we do not expect that bring us deep, deep pain. So how do I, as a follower of Jesus, have a faith that endures when I find myself asking the question of God, where are you? God, where are you? I don't feel you right now. I don't sense you right now. And I'm feeling a pain that I didn't know was possible. God, where are you? How do we have a faith that endures? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 today. If you can turn to your Bibles. I don't know if you guys have ever read Hebrews in your entire life. So if you haven't, I'm going to give you some context. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament. We don't necessarily know who wrote Hebrews. Some believe it was a man named Paul. Some believe it was people who followed Paul around. But we really don't know, but the book is still speaking to a specific audience. And the book is speaking to the Hebrew Christian people at the time of the New Testament. And what the writer is writing to the Hebrew people as they're professing their faith in Jesus is that these Hebrew Christians are starting to realize that, wait a second, there are times in my life where I am faced with adversity. The Hebrew people are realizing that their family and their loved ones are starting to cast them out because of their faith, and they don't know how to cope with it. So the writer is trying to encourage them to keep enduring in your faith, and there's a way to. As we pick up in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and it says, therefore, everybody say, therefore. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so trips us up. And let us run. Anybody in here a runner? We got any runners in here? Your boy ran a half marathon last June and has crippling asthma. I'm not saying I defied the odds, but I think I did. 12-year-old me would have been proud. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes, get this, on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of this joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Can we pray? Lord, we just love you so much, Holy Spirit. We just pray that you just continue to move in this room. God, I pray for anyone watching online. God, I pray for anyone who is here today who may be hurting and maybe asking the question of wondering where you're at in this situation. Lord, we just pray that you speak to every single soul today in a unique way that reaches them exactly where they're at. So Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your love. God, I pray that nothing that I say is of myself. It is you and you alone. Lord, speak through your word today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, God, where are you? God, where are you? What's interesting about that question is oftentimes when we're faced with adversity in our faith, we can find ourselves asking that question. God, where are you? But oftentimes the same question is the catalyst that leads us to our faith. God, where are you? I'm broken, I'm addicted, I'm struggling, I've tried everything in this world, and I need you. God, where are you? And I would say, if I had to guess, a lot of people in this room right now who are following Jesus because God answered that question when you called out to him. God, where are you? I remember when I was 21 years old, fully addicted to prescription drugs, and my life had just kind of gone in shambles and had gotten to a place that I never thought possible that it would be, and just I was in a really dark place, and I had a really bad day one day, and I just felt like I had nothing left to live for, and I was driving, and I started thinking about how I wanted to take my life, and I pull over, and I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do. And I have this moment where I just start weeping and I cry out to God and I just say, God, where are you? I've been in pain for so long. Where are you? Please meet me where I'm at. If you're real, take this pain from me. In that moment, I had a divine encounter that obviously changed my entire life. I felt like God met me because he's good and spoke to me because he's amazing and said, hold on, son. Just a little bit longer, I have a plan and purpose for your life. I'm just believing there are people here today who are maybe wanting to have a relationship with Jesus. You're at your wit's end and you're crying out. I just want to encourage you, keep asking, keep knocking, and you will find. Jesus will show up in your life. So I start following Jesus, and to be honest, it felt like my life was pretty amazing from that point on. If I'm being honest, I felt pretty favored. God, it just kind of felt like God was aligning my life and putting me in different spots. And next thing I know, I'm a kid from North Carolina who had just overcome a drug addiction. And I'm in Florida, sunny Florida, getting tan and honey glazed. Come on, somebody. Vitamin D levels are sky high. All the health enthusiasts were pumped for me. Vitamin D is high. I'm feeling good. Life is going good. I'm at an amazing school. I just have people that believe in me. Then I get a job at a church and everything is going great. And I just have great community. And then God opens up a door to go to probably the only other place on the planet that I believe is more beautiful than Florida, San Diego. Come on. Heaven on earth, honestly, let's be real. God calls me to go out to San Diego. I'm like, all right, God, if I must, calls me to go out here. I'm like, man, I feel pretty favored, dude. A week before I'm moving out to San Diego, my head pastor calls me and he says, hey, man, you're not going to believe this. Somebody just donated a Hyundai SUV fully paid for. The keys are in the office. They want you to drive it from Florida to San Diego. And I just think, while we pause there, I just want to say this. As we step into Heart for Your House, which is based around generosity, that someone's generosity gave me an actual vessel to get from Florida to San Diego because they believed that God was going to bless it and do ministry through it. Amen? Sometimes you just don't know where your generosity is going to go. And because of someone else's generosity, I've been able to pick kids up in that car. I've been able to minister with that car. So I got this car. I'm driving it out. I'm like, California, you know, driving, feeling good. I get out to San Diego, everything's amazing. And then I'm out here and I'm like single and I'm a youth pastor. And I'm like, dude, I gotta meet my wife. Like, okay, what are we doing? And then I see my wife on social media. She didn't know she was my wife yet, but I did. I said, this girl is so out of my league, but guess what? I'm walking in favor. I said, let me slide in the DMs real quick. So I messaged her, and we're married now. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so everything's just kind of going my way. And I'm like, life is good with Jesus. Then I'm at the Rock Church, and I'm getting to do stuff like this. And I'm like, man, how did I even get here? And then I just remember this day, me and my wife, then fiance, we're getting married in Hawaii, and we're at the wedding, and I'm looking at the scenery, and it's so beautiful, and I'm just sitting there thinking, how did I get here? From where I was, from here. Could only be God's favor, and I just felt like I had a confidence to me, if I'm being honest, that like God was aligning everything, and it was great. And I'm in my honeymoon, and stuff's going good, and we're getting to eat at cool spots and go, you know, to this beautiful island. And day one goes by, day two, day three, it's amazing. And then day four of my honeymoon, I get a phone call from my older brother at 6 a.m. And he calls me once, I don't pick up. I'm like, why is this dude calling me? I'm on my honeymoon, bro, chill out. Calls me again. He's like, hey, dude, like, please call me back. It's important. So I call my older brother, and I can just tell immediately something's wrong when his voice is just shaking. He's like, hey, man, I hate to tell you this. I know you're on your honeymoon, but mom passed away. He said, we don't really know what happened. We hadn't heard from her in a couple days, and we did a wellness check, and they found her. And in that moment, if you're here and you've ever lost somebody suddenly, I wouldn't wish that pain on anybody. I think it just brings you to a different place. And yeah, I find myself in this moment having this crazy range of emotions where I just married the girl of my dreams, but 4 days later, my mom suddenly passes. And I hang up the phone, and I'm sitting there, and I'm heartbroken. And I find myself asking the same question that brought me to faith, but in a different context. God, where are you? God, where are you? I thought my life was favored. God, where are you? I thought you were aligning my path. God, my mom wasn't even a Christian. How could you allow this to happen? And I'm finding myself with all of these questions, bringing them to God, and I'm confused and I'm broken. And I just think, there are a couple thousand people in this room. I think it's fair to assume that every single person in here is going through something. Every single person is going through something today. God, where are you? Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe you got a diagnosis that you weren't expecting. Maybe you lost your parent recently. Maybe your kid is still struggling in the addiction that you've been praying for and God has not freed them yet. Maybe you just lost a child. I've had multiple conversations with multiple pastor friends within the last 3 weeks of friends of mine whose wives have had miscarriages. And it does something to you when something like that happens, when life hits you. And we're having these conversations, and these are pastors, people that are filled with faith, and they're asking and wondering the same question that I'm asking you if you find yourself in this season of, God, where are you? God, I've been praying for my loved one to come to know Jesus, and he hasn't yet. God, where are you? God, I've been single for so long, I feel like you are not hearing the prayers that I've been praying for 6 years. God, where are you? God, I started walking with Jesus, and then my family actually is starting to disown me because they're equating my faith with a political belief, and now we're not talking. God, where are you? And I think what can happen is maybe you're here and you find yourself in one of the two phases. Maybe you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're asking that question, God, where are you? Or maybe you've been walking with the Lord and something unexpected hit you and you don't even know how to process it. And you're asking that, God, where are you? My faith feels like it is not enduring in this moment and I can't seem to get through. I want to try to answer that question today. How do we endure when we're asking the question of God, where are you? What we're going to do is we're going to look through this text verse by verse because I believe that this text answers the question. How do we endure in our faith when life gets hard? Point one, a faith that endures is a faith that looks to eternity. Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let's stop there. What I think is so interesting about the book of Hebrews and really just how we read the Bible in 2025 is the Bible is originally written in one cohesive thought. But what we have done is, and what publishers of the Bible have done, is they have begun to put the Bible into sections. So we'll read sections of the Bible like God is love, verses 1 through 14. God disciplines those he loves, verses 14 through 21. And we'll start reading the Bible through different sections, but what's hard about that is sometimes we begin to take stuff out of context. So as we read the book of Hebrews, if you've never read it, I think it's interesting for you to know this, that Hebrew is the only book in the Bible that is written in the form of a sermon. And it is written in the form of one cohesive thought. So when I see that word, therefore, what that makes me to believe is that therefore is a transitionary word. So in order for us to understand what 12, 1 through 3 is saying, we got to look to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, the Bible is talking about what we call the hall of faith, which are men and women of God who have lived this life of faith. And it says, since you were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, such as Abel, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah, these people have gone before you, and why that's so important is because it's telling us, since you're surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses who have made it to eternity. Why is it telling it to us? Because it's so important, as the Hebrew people are going through a hard time, that they have an eternal perspective of what really matters. That they have eternity on their mind, even though they're suffering. That they have eternity on their mind, even though they don't understand what they're going through. See, oftentimes I think what we do is we go through a hard season and we get so caught up in the day-to-day and we forget that this walk as a Christian, we are not carrying riches or anything here on earth. We have to have a mindset that is looking to eternity. Amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what I find funny is human beings are so nostalgic, right? Anybody nostalgic? Nostalgic people in here? I'm like weirdly nostalgic. Like you're like, all right, dude, it's getting uncomfortable. Like, do you remember that time? But we're people that tend to look in the past. We look to moments of bliss. I believe we all have one. If you look back, there's probably one specific moment, whether as a child or a teenager, or maybe as a younger child to my students, I don't know. We look back to moments of bliss. For me, is playing football with my boys in sixth grade. Every day, when I like close my eyes, I'm not kidding, every day, I'm kind of a psychopath, it's all good. I think about when me and my friends would go home and we would play football, tackle football, every single day after school. Got 7 concussions on a Wednesday. Rough. But I think we all have some sort of moment of bliss that we look back to because human beings are so wired to look to the past as if it's the best place to look. What's so interesting is that as human beings, we'll look back to the past with bliss, but as Christians, we won't look forward to the future with expectation. We'll look back to the past with bliss, but we won't look forward to the future with an eternity in mind. We'll look back to the past with bliss, but when life gets hard, we won't look too forward to the future with resilience. And I just think as followers of Jesus, we have to be people that have a heavenly perspective when we are going through a season where we have to endure. Your suffering here on earth is only temporary, the Bible tells us. We can look to heaven. Amen? Point 2, how do we have a faith that endures? We have to have a faith with endurance. The second part of that verse, Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us throw off every weight that slows us down. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And what's interesting is what the writer of Hebrews is telling the Hebrew people to do is to be careful of what you're picking up. Because oftentimes when we go through hard things, we'll start to pick things up without realizing the cost of what we're picking up. And what we do is, you know, we have a bag of life that we carry things with. And, you know, you got the day-to-day stuff. I got to pick up my kids, got to do my homework, got to go to the bank, got to go do these things, and got to make sure I do my job. And life can, you know, there's daily stressors. But oftentimes when a tragedy hits, and we don't know how to process it with God, we'll start slowly picking up things, not realizing how much they weigh. And before you know it, you found yourself picking up an addiction that was just a glass a night. You found yourself picking up an addiction that you're so broken that you need affirmation from people and you're addicted to the approval of people. You found yourself picking up an addiction of food at night because you feel so lonely and so shameful. And then what we do is we just take it, we just toss it in the bag. Or maybe you've gotten heartbroken and the girl broke your heart, or the guy broke your heart, and you don't know how to handle it, and you feel abandoned, and you feel alone, and you feel like you just don't know what to do next. And then before you know it, you turn to pornography. You turn to things that are maybe gonna cope or help you feel like wanted or valued in that moment. I'm just gonna watch it once. Let me throw it in the bag. Or maybe it's something a little more subtle. Turn to things like, okay, I'm heartbroken right now. I'm gonna find my worth in my job. I'm gonna find my worth in getting ahead. I'm gonna find my worth in health and wellness. Come on, that's conviction for me. Supplements, chill out, Hayden. We find idols that we don't realize, but we are putting them before God, and we just toss it in the bag. Or maybe you're so broken with what's going on in your life, and you're so just, you don't know how to process, and you don't know how to go to the Lord, and you found yourself picking up a sin that is so hard for you to talk about, you feel like you can't even tell your closest friend about, because you don't know how it got to this point. You don't know how it got this bad, and you have a secret sin that you're struggling with. And what ends up happening is we end up just putting these things in our bag. But then we start to feel a little bit more weighed down. And then we start to feel like, oh wait, I actually feel like I'm walking off. I actually feel like life is getting kind of heavy. I actually feel pretty broken right now. Why is it? Well, because you've been putting things that are weighted into your life that you were never supposed to put there. And what ends up happening is you have this bag of life that actually turns into baggage. because you've been putting sins that you were just reaching and grabbing for because you felt like they were gonna fill the void in your heart for a momentary satisfaction, and then you're walking with a life that is weighed down. The writer of Hebrews is saying, let us throw off every weight that entangles us. But I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when you find yourself in a hard season, that's easier said than done. Next verse is so funny. And let us run the race with endurance. It's like, do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what I'm carrying? Do you know what I'm feeling right now? And we get frustrated because we don't know how to get out of this situation where we feel so weighed down by the sin that we picked up in a way to cope. And that's the issue with reading verses verse by verse. We're in a culture where you get the verse of the day and you read it and it's taken out of context. And you can read that verse, let us throw off every weight that strips us and let us run the race with endurance. Sounds good. How do I do it? Well, if you keep reading, what's interesting is the writer actually tells us. He says, verse 2, by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen. By fixing your eyes on Jesus. How do I throw the weight off? What are you looking at? We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Point 3, we have a faith that endures by having a faith that has eyes on Jesus. And oftentimes, what we do is, you know, sometimes we'll read a book and we won't understand the whole thing, but it's the writer of Hebrews, essentially the whole theme is telling us this. Chapter 1, Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than priests. Jesus is better than the pain that you're feeling right now. And the whole book ends by the writer saying that Jesus is the best way to live. Jesus is better. He's our example. We can look to him to get us through hard times. But you're looking at me and you're like, Hayden, that sounds good, but that's not working. Well, I would say, I would question where your focus is. Because a lot of times what I think we do is we focus on our sin instead of our Savior. I think a lot of times what we do is we'll focus on what we're going through instead of the one that can get us out. Y'all have heard the leadership quote, what you focus on grows. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. I'm just like, man, Hayden, I can't stop looking at that. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop putting other people's opinions above anything else. I can't stop with the sin. I can't stop with what I'm going through. And my question to them is, how often are you looking at it? Because oftentimes, like, Jesus, why aren't you taking this from me? And I would say, because you won't stop looking at it. What happens is we get entangled and we refuse to look at the one that can detangle us. We get caught in sin and we're looking at it so much and we're not even looking at the Savior. The Bible's telling us right here we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you're here and you found yourself in a moment where you're like, why did I get here? I would propose to you, let's go back to the basics. Let's get our eyes and our focus and our attention on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I can't put it down. I'm not looking at this. I can't stop looking at it. And I was asking the question, why do we do that? Why do we do that? We turn to everything but God and hardship. And I think what it is that we don't know how to properly process our disappointment with God, which is why we found ourselves with the baggage in the first place. Because we don't know how to process what we're feeling, that we felt let down. So we start reaching to everything else to give us peace, even though we know the word of the Lord tells us that the Spirit of God gives us peace. And we won't turn to that because I think we have a trust problem when things happen like this. God, why? But really what I think it is that initially we don't know how to process when things happen. And initially we turn from God, but then the barrier gets even larger. And before we know it, we haven't read our Bible in a month. We have not prayed in a month. And we're asking God, where are you? I don't feel your presence. I don't feel intimate with you. And I just think sometimes we just got to get back to the basics. And I'm just wondering, like, are we getting in our word? Are we praying? God is good and God is with us, but we have to be aligned with him and intimate with him to feel his presence and his peace. The Bible tells us if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the weight starts to come off. Oh, wait, I don't feel bound to that anymore. Oh, wait, I'm not looking at that anymore. Oh, wait, I'm not in bondage to that anymore. Why? Because I started getting in his presence. God, where are you? I need a faith that endures. And what's so interesting is this passage is just answering all of these questions because it tells you exactly where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So what that tells me is God is in heaven looking at us saying, come on, keep going. Put your eyes on me and you can get through this. I did not die for you to just sit and wallow. I did not die for you to get saved, feel joyful with me for 6 weeks, and then a hardship happened and you run the other way. I died for you so that you could run this race with endurance and you could get to the goal, which is eternity with him. But in order to know that, we got to be looking at him. He's seated at the right hand of the throne. As we read Hebrews 12, the whole totality of it, the whole chapter is talking about that God disciplines those he loves. You can hear that and you're like, if you're like me, I don't like that. I don't like being disciplined, you know what I mean? Like, what? But what the premise is that God disciplines you because he's not going to let you stay where you are. And what that tells me even more is that sometimes the work is hard. Sometimes we got to put in the work with Jesus to develop the intimacy with him again, to feel his presence when we have felt so lost for so long. But the good news is that even though the work is hard, the gospel is easy. Jesus died for us so that it would be easy. He says, cast your burdens on me. So I don't know where you're at today. We can bow our heads and close our eyes around the room. Maybe you're here and you're on the first phase of that question. And you're here, you feel like you have a relationship with Jesus, and you're here just as a last shot because you're so broken and you just want Jesus anything to make you feel better. I'm here to tell you as somebody that has had an encounter with Jesus that it is so worth it. And if you're here and you've never heard the gospel, John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. The gospel is the good news that God wants a relationship with us, with you, with me, everyone in the room, even though we don't deserve it. And he gives us a life of peace and a life of joy and a life of abundance, but also a life of endurance when things get hard. So if you're here and you want a relationship with Jesus, I'm gonna just ask you to just repeat after me. All you gotta do, the Bible tells us if we profess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. All you gotta do is just say, God, I need you. I can't do this anymore. Come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Convince me of how much you love me. Lead my life, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Amen. If that was you, heads bowed still. If that was you and you just prayed that prayer and you just accepted Jesus, Can you just raise your hand around the room? One, two, three. Just raise your hand high. Yep. Amen. Be bold. Come on, raise your hand. I know this stuff gets awkward. I'm seeing hands still go up. Just raise your hand. It don't matter if Pastor Miles is here or not. Just raise your hand. Secondly, I just want to pray for someone else. If you're in here and you feel like you're going through a really hard time, and you feel like you've been questioning if God is in it, and you feel like you're hanging on by a thread, you feel like you don't know how you're going to get through, I'm just going to ask you right now boldly to just raise your hand before we pray. Just around the room, raise your hand, yep. If you're going through a hard time right now, you're grieving, you got a diagnosis, you feel like your life is in a hard season, just want to pray for you. Lord, God, I just thank you for every single person in this room right now. God, I pray that you just cover us with your grace. Lord, I pray for anyone who, I just got this in worship, maybe who got a cancer diagnosis recently, and you're wondering where God is in this, and it came out of nowhere, and you feel so afraid. I pray for that person right now, whoever they are in this room. And God, I just pray for healing over them. And Lord, I pray that you comfort them and help them to just continue to have the strength to fix their eyes on you. Lord, I pray for anyone in the room who may have lost a loved one recently. God, I pray that you comfort them. Anyone whose kid is struggling with addiction, I pray that you comfort them. Anyone who has lost their job recently, I pray that you comfort them. And anyone who is going through something that we don't know, God, I pray the Holy Spirit, that your peace covers them. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.